42% of black women that voted. And that, you know, it almost seemed as though they were being pushed to the side and asked to come back and rejoin with progressive voters now, or progressives, or white women, or however you want to categorize them, with the counter protest that's about to occur during the Trump inauguration. And, you know, the whole conversation as to what should not just black women, but what should black voters do? Because they felt as though they, you know, what was it, 80-some% of black men, 92% of black women. And yet there was a smack in the face with regards to the recognition and the efforts that were given and the resources that were even offered to the African-American constituencies and the groups that were out there trying to get black people to the polls. Could you, you know, sort of share your thoughts with regards to, you know, that whole portion of the program where we talked about what should black women, what should the black voters do now that they're being called on to now come back out and push against the administration?
Well, you know, I was really deeply offended by the post-election punditry, and I know I was just one of millions of people, especially black women, who were flabbergasted that although we got the assignment, we understood what needed to be done to protect this democracy. We understood that despite the fact that inflation was pinching us as much, if not more, than other people, we understood that we aren't always, you know, thought about or addressed in the way that we want to be addressed. We understood that the agendas are not always shaped in the way we think they ought to be shaped. We still understood what was necessary to protect this democracy. We understood what kind of policies were better for the entire country. We understood that the challenge was for us to fight back against these forces of repression. We understood that. We got it right. 92% of us got an A on that exam. And what we saw in the next day when we show up to class is that no one is noticing that we performed spectacularly. In fact, what we got was, you guys go sit in the timeout corner over there, because what we're really concerned about is the folks who didn't show up to school at all and haven't showed up for this class in democracy for a generation, as Terry just pointed out. So we're looking at the situation where people are not trying to emulate a black women voter. They're not trying to figure out black women's leadership. They're not trying to figure out the structures that were in place that allowed us to overperform relative to other groups. They're not trying to figure out how to make an example of us to follow. Instead, they're making an example of what not to do anymore, at least some of those who are saying that it was too much, quote unquote, identity politics that led to Kamala Harris's defeat. And by identity politics, they're not talking about that stuff that went down in Madison Square Garden. They're not talking about Trump saying, me and my white skin. They're not talking about Puerto Rico being framed as a garbage dump in the Atlantic. That's not the identity politics they're talking about. They're talking about the politics of inclusion. They're talking about making our democracy what it promises to be. They're talking about the entire infrastructure that was created by the civil rights movement, the latter half of the 20th century and the first quarter of the 21st. That's what they're talking about as the problem. And that's what they are willing to cast aside in order to try to win back voters that we're not winning back. And frankly, we don't need them. What we need is to really go back to our base and activate them. And we need to get those white voters who are willing to vote for the good of the country. We need to get those white women who understand that our trajectories are linked. Our fates are linked. They always have been and they always are. We can't do that if we muddle our message or if we agree not to say certain words like diversity, equity, and inclusion anymore. So my response to how black voters need to respond, this is our party. We are the most loyal voters. We need to demand accountability from all of the people who we elect, including those who look like us and those who don't. So if there's a space where agendas are being fought over, is there a place where funds are being distributed? Is there a place where the values are being articulated? We need to be there more than we've ever been before, because otherwise, if we are not at the table, they will completely ignore our interests. That's what history tells us. We know how this story ends. We need to write a different ending.
Amen. It's time to write a new chapter. It's time for us to bring our intervention. It's time for us to make a difference, like we always have and like we always will. You know, thank you so much, Kim, for that perspective. You know, what I wanted to also make sure that we talk to people listening, because people are going like, you know, I'm already pumped up some. I'm ready. The question is, what can I do, right? So, Jonah, you know, we are organizing like crazy. I am so, you know, proud of your leadership in this area. One thing that we're working on are these nominees. Kim mentioned them. Woo! You know, we got these ugly nominees, folks. And I say ugly, I'm not talking about physical appearance. I'm talking about their ideology, that they really believe, their ideas. They believe that black people, you know, want too much, that we shouldn't have the same status. They believe in their white supremacy. They believe in their elitism. Don't be confused, people. Don't think that these folks just kind of, you know, got it wrong. They know what they're doing. They purposefully are creating this agenda of exclusion, this agenda that, you don't bring Daniel Penny to your suite at the Army-Navy game. The Daniel Penny, folks, is the guy who killed the black man who was homeless and who was having, whatever psychotic episode or just was, you know, annoying people, and put him into a fatal chokehold for over 6 minutes. 6 minutes. Have you counted out how long that takes to kill and asphyxiate and murder a black man? And he got exonerated. So instead of saying, as they've been talking about the CEO, Brian Thompson, instead of saying, listen, folks, vigilantism is never good, we shouldn't be killing folks, they're out here celebrating this man purposefully sending a message to their white base that we are for white people. Let me, therefore, Jonah, my question is about Cash Patel. Tell us about this nominee and why we must do everything in our power to oppose him.
Absolutely. Thanks, Barbara. Yeah, there are a lot of dangerous and concerning nominees, and I think they all fall into this idea of Trump building power for the ultra wealthy, for the billionaires, for big business, and against everyday Americans. And Patel is their security force to try to put down our voice. He's the nominee that they have for the FBI. And he has said he is going to use the FBI to weaponize it against what he calls Trump, the enemies. And the enemies are us. He's listed Trump's enemies as basically the enemies of the state. And he wants to reinstate COINTELPRO and then some. And COINTELPRO was the illegal operation to undermine the civil rights movement, the movement against the war in Vietnam, that attacked communities that were organizing, that planted drugs on people, that were there at every moment trying to agitate, to create problems and to undermine the work of democracy, the work that people were doing in those movements. And he wants to recreate that and build that more with the FBI. And we can stop this nomination. So we have to get out there right now and speak to Republican senators who will listen and tell them to vote no on this nomination, to call them up. You know, right now, everyone should call their senator at the switchboard at 202-224-3121. That's the Capitol switchboard. It's 202-224-3121. And ask to speak to your senator and tell them to oppose him. But we should write letters to the editor. We should write op-eds. People should reach out and meet with their senator. We can stop this nomination and some of the worst ones. And now is a key moment for us to speak out and to prevent this. You know, Trump said he's the president for the people, right? He pretends in his campaign that he wants to speak for working class people. We know that's not the case, and that's the message we need to get out, that this nomination, that his nominations are about building power for the wealthy, and in this case about undermining the work that we're doing for the people of the country, the work that we're doing together, by attacking our communities, by attacking us and stopping us from organizing. And we can do this together. We can take on Hash Patel and stop him from becoming the nominee.
And Jonah, he has a enemies list that he's published, folks. I mean, this is not some supposition. He has published this ugly enemies list. Folks, we got work to do. Thank you so much, Jonah, for that. Terry, I know that you have a 12:30 departure. What nominee do you want to call people's attention to that you really want to make sure people are organizing to oppose in addition to Kash Patel?
Barbara, I know. Honestly, I think Robert Kennedy Jr. is a real danger, and here's why. As head of HHS and a vaccine, opponent, I'll talk about what I'm seeing here in Tennessee. Because of the drastic anti-abortion laws in Tennessee, what we're seeing is fewer and fewer doctors, fewer and fewer healthcare providers available to provide reproductive health care for women generally across the state, but especially in rural communities. You get Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in the Department of Health and DHHS. And what we're going to see is fewer and fewer healthcare providers providing the standard of care. Who does that hurt? That hurts poor people, disproportionately people of color, very disproportionately women of color, certainly in the state of Tennessee and I think throughout the country. So it's not just that he's really a nut on vaccines. And look, I'm not a fan of the pharmaceutical industry, and definitely vaccine production needs to be carefully regulated. But what he is going to do is continue to crumble the healthcare delivery system around the country. And who does that hurt? It hurts women, and especially women of color.
Wow. And before you leave, Terry, is there any general word that you want to give out to our national audience? Our national audience in 45 cities, people. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Our national audience in our international audience in 13 nations. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody. Terry, what do you want to say? Ah, good. So, Terry, what do you want to say right now to everybody that's been ready to leave? Uh-huh.
I want to say this is a time for us to be more energetic than we've been in the past. If you're going to go to the People's March, go to the People's March, but come home and do organizing door-to-door, person-to-person in your community. This is not the time for social media. Social media can be a huge asset and a tool in organizing, but organizing is person-to-person. It has to be. And why? Because, the surveillance is coming for us. And so we're not necessarily going to be safe using a lot of electronic means. That's why we have got to flex our muscles at the grassroots level, going door to door, going person to person, and developing relationships and communities that are personal, where we know each other and we trust each other. And then we can really begin to have, a movement that is more powerful.
Thank you. Thank you. And Jonah, you have the lead very shortly for another organizing meeting. What else? I mean, that's where we live right now. It's in the organizing space. What do you want to say to our listeners before you depart?
I agree. Now is the time for us to organize. We've been working with a broad coalition. The website is weareworthfightingfor.org, which has great resources on organizing right now, a place you can post your meetings if you're having organizing meetings in your community and get other people there. And the basic idea is that we need to block what MAGA is doing. We need to, look for things that we can win. I'm about to go to an immigration coalition meeting to see how we can stand in solidarity with immigrants under attack. We need to look at communities being attacked and see how we can block their attacks. We need to break down the MAGA brand, and we need to weaken them and work to break down their power. We need to bridge. We need to build divides. We need to build alliances and bring people over. You know, we don't have to bring everyone over, but we have to look for people who are ready to come over to our side because they see that